Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
Tonight, no teenagers want to go out tonight. Okay, that sounds good. Savannah, Ronnie, I guess y'all get the night off. Teenagers, are you ready to go tonight? How many of my kids is ready to go tonight? We'll let the teenagers line up first. Oh, you going to take the night off? Miss Amanda wants to know if she wants, y'all want to take the night off or y'all want to head back? How many kids ready to go tonight? Kids, go line up with Miss Amanda. Can we give all of our teens and all of our kids a big round of applause tonight? Amen. All right, y'all do me a favor. Y'all scoot on over. Come on over, please. Boy, I tell you what, adults, man, y'all better get ready. Y'all better get ready. That's all right. You notice that a lot of my adults have to go back because they got to get them situated. Don't worry, they'll trickle back in when they get their job done. Amen. Hey, y'all can't say nothing tonight. How many of y'all in here can just shake it off right now? Just go ahead and just look at somebody and say, you better shake it off. Miss Jen, just go ahead and go, whew. There you go. That's right. All right. Uh-huh. Stephanie, you just go ahead. Tiffany, just go ahead and, whew. Uh-huh. Trina, just go ahead. Monica, just go ahead. Whew. How many of you tonight just love the Lord? On Sunday, I didn't get a chance to preach, shake it off, but I changed it up tonight. The Holy Spirit changed my sermon, brother. I don't know about anybody else. How many of you guys were in this house on Sunday? Man, we had a time up in here. We didn't leave church till 2 o'clock. And it wasn't because Pastor preached. I didn't preach at all. It was just the presence of God, man. How many of y'all got just a fresh anointing? You got a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit on Sunday? Amen. And you know what? There's an expectancy that this Sunday, y'all just better get ready. Amen. There's some things that God is doing. And when you turn around and look, you look at your youth ministry right now. And my youth leaders are in the back right now with them on Tuesday nights. How many of you realize when you start working God's plan, it works? How many of you realize tonight when you turn around, there's two rows of teenagers that just left out of here? You know, we're getting ready to have to find another building just to put the teens in. Amen. And then the kids, you look at the kids, they're growing every week. Amen. Now, we still got a lot of people who are out sick. They're not feeling well. And one thing I want to say to every adult here is I need your help. I'm changing some things on Tuesday night. Okay? So on Tuesday nights, try to have your teens here at 6:30 because at 6:30, your teens have the whole back room to themselves. They'll have 30 minutes to come back. There's going to be a snack bar open for them, a time of games. Now, the kids will be in the sanctuary because it's time for the teens to be able to have their own time. How many of y'all agree? So we're going to give the teens about 30 minutes in the back to fellowship, go to the snack bar and be able to relax and kick back. One day, we won't have to worry about it because the youth will have their own praise team. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. The youth will have their own praise team. Okay, I was making sure I was in the right place. The children's church are going to have their own praise team. And our praise team gets to have a break every once in a while. How many of you would love to have a youth service on a Sunday morning where the teens actually come in, they preach, and they give their testimonies? It's coming. Amen. Children's ministry is wrapping back up again. Man, I'm telling you, we're busting at the seams. And many of y'all looking around tonight, there's a lot of people out. But tonight, I want to go ahead and tell you, better get ready. Amen? Are you ready for the word tonight? Man, I'm ready to preach. I didn't get to preach on Sunday, so y'all get a double whammy tonight. Amen? I'm trying to give all the workers in the back a minute because they end up missing the first couple minutes. Because they're back there ministering and getting settled. How many of you realize, you know, it takes many hands to make the load light? Amen. But tonight, the Lord really began to deal with me about peace. Peace. So tonight, there's a word here for you. Look at somebody and say, there's a word here for me tonight. Peace. How many of you can just shout that? Just shout it. How many of you are beginning to realize that peace does not mean powerless? And I'm going to help you tonight because it's time for you to get a realization of what peace is and how peace works. Does anybody want peace in your life? I didn't say perfect, I just said peace. How many of you realize if you're looking for perfect, you better just keep on wishing? Amen? Because we'll never be perfect until we close our eyes or he comes back to get us. Amen? You just go ahead and get ready for that. But look at somebody and just say peace with a big smile on your face. Do it. Just say peace. Don't that feel good?
Peace.
You know, sometimes you feel like you almost want to pull like a Yoda and, you know, peace. You know, you want to pull out the, you feel like some Simba person stands up and just declares peace. No. How many of you in your life are realizing that you're missing something? Anybody realize you're missing something? Tonight, I'm going to show you how to get it. Anybody here want to get it? Do you realize that he left it for you? Now, Pastor has preached on peace before, but tonight I'm going to show you something. Are you ready? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And I want you to go to verse 36. And do not, please, do not turn your mind off just because you've heard this passage of Scripture before. How many of you in here over the past probably 2 months now have realized that when we read the Word, we have to read the Word? How many of us have been learning some things that you've read it many times before, but you really didn't read it? So tonight, I want to show you something. Are you in Mark chapter 4? Verse 36, when you get there, at least say amen for me. Let me know you're alive. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 4. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, that's Jesus, and there were also with him other little ships. Now read your Bible. Don't just read your Bible. Amen. And there arose a great storm of wind. Of what? Of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose. Don't read your Bible, read your Bible. Watch this. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, how many of you have heard this scripture before? How many of you have heard it preached before? See, tonight I want to open your understanding. Can I do that for you? Can I give you a story of how this actually ended up? You have to understand that Jesus had been ministering all day long. I don't know about anybody else, but when you start ministering at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning and you go all the way to 2 o'clock, you find out just how much your motor runs out of energy. If you don't believe me, come sit beside me or slide into my shoes a little bit, because when the anointing hits you, you're nonstop, and then when it's done, you just want to crash. Come on, anybody here ever been in a place where you did something for God and afterwards you were just drained? Anybody here, anybody ever been to the place where maybe you were singing or playing or helping somebody, and then when you got done, you were all in it until you got done, and when you got done, you just kind of, anybody ever been there? See, you need to understand, Jesus was at that place. He had been ministering all day long. He had been healing the sick, mending the brokenhearted, casting out devils. He had been all day long about his Father's business. And can I just help you? You can believe that when Jesus worked, he worked. Amen? And you find him in verse 36. It says that they took him just the way he was. Do you understand that Jesus was physically wore out? Can I just help everybody? It's okay if you get wore out. Anybody ever been wore out? You just had to take a break. You just had to rest. Can anybody help me in here? I mean, has anybody ever been to the place where it was time for at least a one-day vacate? And here you find them, it says in verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was, and they put him in the ship. Now watch this, because many times you read your Bible but don't read it. And there was also with him other little ships. How many of you have heard this preached before? But did you ever know that there was more than one ship out there being tossed around? Y'all got quiet on me. So you need to understand that Jesus is trying to prove to all of y'all, okay, watch this. Even though you might be in a storm, there's others in a storm with you. Okay, don't always just look at yourself and say, man, I'm in a bad place. You need to understand that when you're in a bad place, other people are in a bad place too. When Jesus got into the boat, everybody else is like, well, I want to be with him. Can I help you? When you're with Jesus, you can believe there's some storms coming. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I'm going to preach myself happy tonight. Because we need to realize that even though you're in a storm, so are we. And our boats may be tipping different than yours. We may be getting battered different than you are, but we're still in the same storm. Can I help you? Just because there's a smile on the outside of my face doesn't mean that there ain't a storm on the inside. But the difference is I know who I got in my boat. Hello, somebody. And here you find Jesus going out in the boat, goes up in the stern of it or in the hinder part of it, and he begins to do what he needed to do, and that was rest. Anybody ever felt like, man, well, Jesus, where are you at right now? Is there anybody here to tell the truth right now and just say, Lord, man, I'm in the biggest, hardest part of my life, and where are you right now? Amen? And you know he's with you, even though he's not actually talking to you. Can I help you? Can I help you right here? Can everybody just hear me for a second? Just because he's not talking to you does not mean he's not with you. Just because you don't feel him all around you does not mean he's not with you. Amen? You understand that Jesus was in the boat and the rest of them was feeling the effects of the wind and the waves. Isn't it funny that Jesus didn't wake up from the effects? Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. Is everybody hearing me? Excuse me, if I was getting wet, you could believe I'm going to wake up. Is this making sense? Can I just make the word come alive to you right now? You got to understand that Jesus was in the boat with them, and the effects and the cause of it was not affecting him. Hello, somebody. Are you hearing me right now? Watch this. Here you find Jesus asleep in the boat, and these guys are battling with the effects of what's coming. They're battling with the cause of why all of this is happening in the first place. But you find Jesus in the boat not being... Golly, can I just help you with this? You ready? Can I just help you with this? When we're in a storm, Jesus is already above it. When we're going through something, he is not affected by it. He is just waiting for the right opportunity to take care of it. And many of us want to wake him up early. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Anybody ever been in a storm where you just want, Lord, you ain't moving fast enough. I need you right now. Lord, I need some help right now. Somebody help me. Anybody ever been in a place where it's just like, Lord, can you wake up just a little bit faster? And then you start doing every religious activity you ever thought of. Well, if I fast long enough, maybe that'll wake him up. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. Maybe if I pray harder, then that'll wake him up. Maybe if I read my Bible more, that'll wake him up. And the truth is that he is right there waiting. Let me just read it so y'all can get it. Can I read it? And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said, Master, carest not that we perish? Or do you not even care that we're going to die? How many of us has got to the place in God where when God didn't show up when we needed him to show up, we said, God, do you even care? Come on. How many of us has been in a place where we're hurting? We're in pain. Oh, come on, somebody. We're in a place of brokenness and we're like, Lord, do you even care right now? See, can I help everybody here? Can I help you? Because in the next verse, you find something so awesome. Are you with me? And he arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, what? Say it. Peace. Don't put them together. Is there a comma after peace? Is there a comma after peace in your Bible? Everybody say, peace, be still. See, this is where we're going to have to preach here for a minute. Because many of us think peace and be still is the same thing. See, many of us, when we say, Lord, I need your peace, you're asking for your storm to be still. But there's a difference. When you ask for peace, there's a reason why there has to be peace, and then there has to be a stilling. But what moves the Lord is compassion. Y'all better get ready on Sunday. I'm preaching on compassion if the Holy Spirit will let me. And y'all ain't never seen nothing like this. Jesus was wore out in the boat, tired, could not even physically arouse himself in a storm. But when his disciples came tugging on him and saying, Master, do you not even care? What did he do? He came up in compassion. He rose up past himself. Can I help you? There's times when Jesus moves for you in complete compassion. And when he moves, he will cause peace and stillness to come into your life. See, can I help you? No matter how much you beg, it's compassion when he moves. He goes and he says, you know what? You're not worthy of it, but because I love you, I'm having compassion on you. Yes, you missed me, but I'm having compassion on you. I'm not just redeeming you. I'm going to smother you with compassion. I'm going to come up and arise. Lord Jesus, I'm about to preach on compassion because there's something that causes a rising. And you find him when he comes to his feet. He says this, peace. Can I start with peace? Can I just break down peace with you real quick? Do you understand that peace, when you go and you look at it, it is absolutely different than being still? And when you study your Bible, you have to pull those things out. When you look at the word peace and begin to really dissect it and go, Lord, what were you trying to say here? Is when you begin to realize he has the authority to cause something of chaos to stop. Can I help you real quick? Peace does not mean powerless. Peace means power. You think about it. The chaos in your life, and then in the name of Jesus, you cry out, and then all of a sudden peace comes. Do you understand when you're sick in your body and you call on the name of Jesus and he brings peace to your body? Do you understand? He comes in all authority. You've aroused compassion and power comes and it pushes the sickness out of your body. My God, have mercy. Do you understand that when peace comes, it is an overruling power to cause the thing that is disturbing the peace to be arrested? Almost got a ticket for disturbing the peace one time. I was young and my music was big. And they wanted to write me a ticket because my subwoofers in the back of my car would shake windows when I went by. And I began to ask myself that today. I said, Lord, I just went back to my teenage years for just a minute. And the Lord said, you don't understand. You can cause people's peace to be disturbed. That'll preach all by itself. There's times whenever we need to realize that in our life, that what Jesus is coming to do is arrest the thing that has violated. Ooh. See, can I help some of you in here right now? You may be in a storm, but what you do need to realize is that when you call out, authority comes. And when he comes, he's coming to arrest. How many of you in here have been to the place where you didn't have no more tears to cry? Yeah, I'm going to preach right here for just a minute because I got a minute. You've been to the place where you just didn't have no more tears to cry, and the devil just kept tormenting and just kept whispering in your ear, and he just kept on and on and on. And then in the last moment where you couldn't take anymore, you just cried out, Lord Jesus, I need some help. And in that moment, he began to arrest it. How many of you realize just what he's trying to say to you today? For some of you, he's trying to tell you, he's trying to declare to you that there is a difference between just peace and being still. Hello. Boy, the devil is really mad. He's doing every distraction he can to keep you from this word. Look at somebody and say, peace. Now, can we go to be still? Because a lot of us, you know what we want to say? Hey, kids, be still. Come on, anybody here ever just been to the place, be still? See, that's not what it means here. See, you find Jesus, he stands up and he speaks to the wind and rebukes it and he says, peace. Everybody say the cause. See, you need to realize that Jesus is not coming to deal with the effects of it. When he says, I'm bringing peace, he's coming to deal with the cause of the problem. Is this making sense? There's times when Jesus comes to bring peace, and when he brings peace, he's coming to deal with the cause of why it's happening in the first place. Look at somebody and say, why it's happening. Come on. Anybody ever faced something that you knew came from somebody else? But when you ask the Lord to intervene, you find that peace came because the Lord stepped in and arrested it. Can I help everybody here? Are you ready? Instead of fighting with people, why don't you just seek peace? Woo! Pastor, preach right there. No, we're just going to seek peace. In other words, we're going to call on the name of Jesus and watch him arrest it. That would settle a lot of fights, wouldn't it? That'll settle a lot of disgruntled people, wouldn't it? Jesus, I just ask you to come and be peace. Hello, somebody. But then when you go to the next part, he spoke to the waves. Everybody say the effect. You realize there's a cause and there's an effect. See, I just got to preach to you. This is why the Lord wanted me to preach this tonight. There is causes for you to lose your peace. And then when you get your peace, you got to deal with the effects of what caused it. Hello, somebody. Does this make sense to everybody? Because Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, not only am I coming to arrest it, but now it's time for the effects of it to begin to be still. Can I help you with this? I love this one. Because when you look it up, it means to muzzle it. Anybody ever seen a dog get muzzled? Anybody ever had to muzzle something? Don't talk about your kid. They'll call DSS on you talking about muzzling your kid. Anybody ever been to the place where you've seen something muzzled? You find right here that Jesus stands up and says, I arrest the cause of it, but I muzzle the effects of it. Are you seeing this? Jesus is actually trying to tell us in our life. He was showing the disciples to their face, I'm going to come and I'm going to arrest the cause of what's driving away your peace. And then those things that drove away your peace, I'm going to cause them to even be still. I'm going to begin to muzzle them. I'm going to force them down with my hand. Can I give you two scriptures on that? Can you handle that? Write these two down. John chapter 14, verse 27, you find something very interesting. Can you go there with me real fast? You ain't going to find it on the screen, so you're going to have to use your Bible. Go to John chapter 14. Don't let them cheat, Minister Ronald. Make them use their Bibles. John 14, verse 27. Jesus' own words right here. Are you ready? Peace. Everybody shout peace. Everybody shout peace. I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Wait a minute. Who did he give it to? Yeah, look at somebody and point your finger at him and just say you.
You.
Jesus said, my peace. Are you ready? Can I help you? Wait a minute. Maybe we need to start declaring peace. Arresting authority. Oh, come on. The causes in your life. Listen, before you make a decision, Lord, I'm going to follow peace. Oh, preach, pastor. Before I do this, I'm going to seek peace. Before I say this, I'm going to speak peace. I'm going to follow peace. I'm going to move in peace. Does this make sense? Then that way, Lord, wherever I go, you'll arrest things that are a cause that keeps me from it. Woo! Is this helping anybody, or is it just making me happy? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Wait a minute. He didn't just leave it with me. He left it with who? You. How many of us are not walking in peace? Truthfully, when you don't walk in peace, you walk in a place of turmoil. Hello? And you find yourself in trouble over and over again because you can't arrest those things that are causing the effects in your life. And here Jesus is saying, I'm leaving it with you. That'll preach because, glory to God, listen, you know what? I don't have to ask for it. He left it for me. How many of us in here are praying for peace? I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray for the arresting anointing of those that would try to attack a blessed nation. I pray for the peace. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It says that we're to pray for that. But in our lives, how many of us are praying peace? Lord, I pray peace over my kids. Keep them in alignment. Keep them straight. Help them, Lord. Lead them, Lord. Guide them, Lord. Come on. How many of you in here pray that over your job? Lord, let there be peace in my job. Lord, listen, it's time, Lord, that we pray peace in our job, not just because you got an issue with somebody, but because you want everything to be the way God wants it to be for you. Oh, Lord, have mercy right now. Does this make sense? We wonder why many of us have problems. We're not activating the word, are we? My peace I leave with you. Let me finish that verse, because Lord have mercy, you're going to be preaching all over the place. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give unto you, so let your heart, you ready? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, come on, come on. You ready? You ready? Y'all can't take this one. You're scared. People run all the time because they're scared. Scared to let God get a hold of them. Scared to let go of what you're trying to do and let God do it. I've been right there as a pastor. But Lord, if I let go of this, what's going to happen? Come on. Hello. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Can I help everybody here? When you're in a place where there's no peace, what happens to your heart? How many of us and how many times do we allow, when we get in a place where there's no peace, our blood pressure goes? Be truthful. Somebody gets under your skin. Amen. You begin to realize. Because it's not just spiritually, it affects you even, it begins to even get into you. And Jesus is trying to say to you, why are you even let your heart be troubled? Why are you even afraid? I left my peace with you. Can I move on? You guys are looking at me like I'm strange. Go to Psalms chapter 46, verse 10. Look at verse 10 of Psalms 46. Are you there? When you get there, say amen. Is everybody doing all right? Psalms 46, verse 10. Be still. You see it? Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Now watch this. The same be still. Now, can I help everybody here? Are you ready? Jesus watched his Father declare it in the Old Testament. Be still right here means something very interesting. It means to take your hand and squash it. How many of you have ever tried to do something and the Lord just... Now, Karen, don't look at me funny. Anybody ever had a time where you tried to move forward in God and God just held you in place? Or anybody ever got mad at somebody who was bigger than you and all they did was just hold you off as you were swinging? No, you know what I'm talking about. Can I make it real for just a second? Watch this. Be still. In other words, the Lord was trying to say to all of us, watch this, not only am I causing the effects to be still, there's times when I need you to be still. And when you be still, I'm just going to show you that I'm God. How many of us in here are beginning to realize that when Jesus rose up in that boat, he said, peace. And he spoke to the wind and it came down. And then he turned around and he spoke to the waves and he said, be still. Do you understand not only the cause but the effect of your life? There's some things that are being causes in your life right now that the Lord is saying, I want to arrest them. I want to get a hold of them. I'm going to rebuke them for you. But not only the causes, I want to deal with the effects in your life. See, you know what happens when somebody does something to you? When they first do it, you have to kind of get over it. But the effects of it, oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. Anybody ever got in a car wreck? Anybody ever fell? Anybody ever hurt yourself? Come on. when you first did that, the pain was there and you went, ow. Especially when you crawl over that 40 mark, you begin to really find out that some of the causes in your life, you wake up and go, I don't remember that kink in my neck. What happened there? I don't remember that ache in the elbow and that knee hit. And you begin to realize that you forgot the cause of it. But you were still having to deal with the effects of it. Do you understand that Jesus looked at the wind and said, it's your fault that this boat is being rocked. It's your fault that right now my men are about to lose their life. And he rebuked it. But then he turned around and spoke to the effects and said, now even you have to be still. Does this make sense? See, you need to realize that there's some things that Jesus has rebuked in your life. Oh, preach, Pastor Eric. Can I help you right now? There's some things that Jesus has rebuked off of your life. Come on, there were some soul ties and there were some people in your life that didn't need to be there. And you say, well, it was my choice, but you've got a Savior that said, no, I rebuke this. This cannot be. And when he began to pull on your heart with compassion and conviction, you turned. Is this making sense to anybody? Watch this. So then now you have to walk through the effects of that relationship. See, a lot of people want to come to church and they want to get prayed for and they think it's done. But the truth is, it's not done until the Lord has done a complete work in you and through you. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Yeah, there's some things in your life that you've given to God, but the effects are still there. So why is your temper still flaring? Why is your tube still going? Hello. Does this make sense? I used to be the hot-headedest guy you ever seen in your life. You just look at me wrong and I'd want to fight. Hello? Don't talk about my wife. Don't talk about my kids. And if you still talk about my wife or my kids, I'm still coming to you. But at this time, it's going to be in love and not anger. Amen? It's because there is something that has to change with the effects that happen. Listen, can I just help you right now? The effects where people have let you down. The effects of being booted out of church. I've been there. Whoop, we don't need you. Why don't you try that? The effects of people slandering your name. Does this make sense? Because truthfully, until you let the Lord say, be still, and begin to muzzle those things in your life, every time you get around that person, something is still there. Is this helping anybody? Has anybody ever been to somebody in your life and you hadn't seen them in a while? And you bump around them and all of a sudden, ooh, I don't like the way that felt, because that's when you go into your prayer closet and go, Holy Spirit, I need some be still in my life. Are y'all hearing, Pastor? I'm giving you some nuggets right now. There's some times when you can go in and you can say, Holy Spirit, I need you to deal with this in my heart. I need you to begin to deal with the effects of what happened. And for a lot of us, it begins with forgiveness. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. That's true. But forgiveness is not really for them as much as it is for you. Because what happens is you hold on to that hurt where they've done moved on. Because in their life, the people who's done it to you knew they can't change it. That'll preach, won't it? How many of you have done something to somebody else and you've just had to move on from it? Because you know you can't change it. But the person you hurt has to deal with the effects. Is this helping everybody here? And you find, even in the Old Testament, the Lord saying, you just be still. Can I help a lot of us here? There's some times when you just need to be still and just know He's God. How many of us in here have just had to learn sometimes, you know what? If you could change it, you would have already done it. So why don't you just stay still for a minute? Does that make sense? So you had one of those moments on Sunday when you two came up here where the Lord began to say, you know what? Now it's time for you to be still. And when you're still, I'm going to reach in. Is everybody catching this? Is everybody holding on to this? This is a very important word for us to realize tonight. Are you catching this? The Lord is trying to say, I don't want to deal just with the cause. I even want to get to the effects in your life. And you know that He has to love you when He says, I don't want to deal with just the causes. I want to get to even the effects. When you go back and you look at Mark, he turns around to his disciples and he says this. He says, where's your faith? Are you there? Go back to Mark. Go back to it. Go back to Mark. When you get there, say amen. Mark chapter 4. You say, Pastor, you're not really preaching the paint off the wall tonight. I don't have to. Verse 40, and he said to them, why are you so fearful? Can that preach by itself? What holds you back from letting Him handle the effects in your life? Fear. This is yes. But God, if I can't build walls around it to keep it in, what's going to happen if I let my walls down? Does that sound familiar? If I let my walls down, is somebody going to hurt me again? Come on, church. Am I preaching? Jesus looked at them and said, why are you so fearful? And then he turns around to him and he goes, how is it that you have no faith? Can I ask you something? Hear what the Lord's trying to say to all of us here even now. He's trying to say, he's like, look, if I can take care of the cause and I can take care of the effect, then why are you letting fear drive you from what I'm trying to do? Don't you know that I've done this in your life before? Does this make sense to everybody? He looked at the disciples physically and caused the wind and the waves to stop to get them to the point where he said, hey guys, do you realize I can take care of the causes of the storm of your life? I can take care of the effects of the storm in your life. And so why are you so tied up in fear? Where's your faith? Do you realize he was prepping them because there was a time when he wasn't going to be there? And when you look at Paul, Paul heard the stories. So when Paul was locked up in a ship and the storm was tossing them back and forth, they called Paul up and Paul said, listen, we're not going to die today. See, Paul got it. Paul realized, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to have faith that if He said it, then He's going to do it. Did the ship go down? Yes, it did. Listen, there's going to be some times in your life the ship's going to go down. Preach, Pastor Eric. Please. There's times when things are not going to go the way that you want them to go. But the difference will be, even though the ship goes down, did the Lord say He's not going to keep you and bring you through? And even when you get on the beach and the devil tries to attack you at your weakest point, you're still going to be able to shake him off and be what God's called you to be. Is this making sense to anybody? Hear the Lord's trying to say tonight. See, Paul realized, you know what? I got peace. If the ship goes down, he's going to carry me through. If we can't even swim, he's going to send me something to float on. Can I help you? If the ship goes down, he's going to send something by. He's not going to let you drown. Hello, church people. How many of you know that to be true? I may feel like I'm dying, but I'm floating. Hello. Watch this. I may feel like I'm going to be taken out, but I'm still alive. Amen? So here is what the Lord's trying to get to all of us is to realize that. Guys, listen. Peace. Let me arrest the causes in your life. Be still. Let me go ahead and help you deal with the effects of what's coming. Do you realize you can run to him and he can deal with them? But when you steady trying to row, baby, and bail out water, how many of us in here has just tried to stay in the boat and keep bailing water? Oh, come on now. Anybody here ever just kept bailing? Listen, I've been in time in ministries in my life where I was just sitting there bailing when the Lord told you. I told you a while back to get out. Y'all ain't saying nothing. There's times he sawed my oars off. He closed every door around me because I was just stubborn, hard-headed enough to stay. Thank the Lord for compassion, man. I'm standing here today because I can go ahead and tell you that's how much he loves me and he loves you. That no matter what you're going through, he's not going to let you be taken out. But what he wants you to do is go ahead and realize, you know what? If Jesus is with me in this boat, then there's no way. There's no way. How many of you could just say, there's no way? This is the end. You know what the disciples forgot? They let their circumstances and the causes to get their eyes off of the one who was in the boat. How many of us in here let our causes and the effects get our eyes off of the one who's in the boat? So I got to ask you, does this make sense to anybody? To where you begin to realize that if he said his peace he leaves with me, then it's something that I should be walking in, taking, praying for, and speaking. Some of y'all, man, you're in the middle of a mess right now. You just need to go ahead and say, you know what? Peace. You just do me a favor right now. How many of y'all can do something with me in faith? Just lift your hand up and just right now, there's something that you're facing right now. And you just need to go ahead and say, peace. Come on, there's some things that you're battling with right now, and you just say, Lord, I need you to arrest it. Peace. I want you to take your hand, just stretch it right out in front of you, and I want you to just say, be still. Now, here's something I want to say to everybody here. You ready? He don't want to just deal with the problem. He wants to deal with the effects of the problem. For some of you, he may have to do it in your sleep because you can't handle it. You ain't saying nothing. There's been times when people have had dreams because they've been battling and they couldn't get anything right, and the Lord just come to them in a dream. There's just sometimes the Lord just allows. I've seen people get slain in the spirit, and the Lord give them a vision. I don't know about anybody else. I don't care the way he gives it to me. I just got to get it. I've got to find the place of being still and knowing that he is God. Amen? I want to ask you tonight. I know you're in some places where you're in a storm. I know you're in some places that right now the causes and effects are battering you. And I pray that tonight when I preach this word that you begin to realize who's in the boat with you. Tonight we're going to do something. Come on up, Lauren, you can play. And as you're playing tonight, I want peace and stillness to come over you and your family as well. Minister Ronald, both of you. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Just take a minute. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to begin to just move in lives tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your peace that is just beginning to reign right now. Peace. Peace. In the name of Jesus, right now, peace. Lord, I pray that right now you begin to just deal with our hearts on the very effects of what we've been through. Lord, I pray that right now you begin to mend the brokenhearted, set captives free. Lord, I pray that you break a spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, right now that there be a loosing of a spirit of oppression that would try to push them or hold them or choke the life out of them. In the name of Jesus, I command you to loose your hold off the man of God and the woman of God. Right now, Lord, I just thank you that your love, Lord, conquers all. It covers a multitude of sin. That, Lord, your love, your compassion is beginning to flow over your people tonight, Lord, and we receive it right now. We just receive it right now in the name of Jesus. How many of you in here could just lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive it, Lord. I'm going to receive your love. I receive, Lord Jesus, what you have for me, Lord. I thank you that right now you're dealing with the stuff inside of me, the effects of everything that's going on, the causes. Lord, you're dealing with those things in me right now. And Lord, in the areas where I'm broken, that Lord, you will be the potter, the master potter, and you'll begin to mold and shape us. Lord, let your fingers begin to wrap around us tonight, Lord. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice right now begins to let your fingerprints and your DNA begin to just smooth them, soothe them, hold them. Right now. Right now, Lord. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. How many of you in here could just lift your hands right now to the Lord? Just say, I surrender it all. Come on, just lift it up and just say, I surrender it all. I can't deal with it. I'm not designed to handle it. I surrender it. Father God, tonight we just lay it at your feet. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, you're rising up and that peace is being declared. Be still is being said to the effects of our life. And Lord, right now you're moving in a powerful way. Lord, we just surrender to you tonight. And Lord, we're not going to fear about what you're going to do. We just have faith that you're going to do it. We shift our focus from the storm to keeping our eyes on you. And we trust you, Lord, with all of our heart. We give you the praise, honor, and the glory right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.